I wanted to ask more questions about the trip, but Papa seemed in a hurry to be off again, and my questions went unanswered until the following day when Mr. Granger arrived. Christopher John and I were drawing water from the well when the silver Packard glided to a smooth stop in the drive, and Mr. Granger stepped out. He stared sour-faced at Uncle Hammer's Packard in the barn, then opened the gate to the front yard and stepped briskly across the lawn to the house. Hastily, Christopher John and I tugged on the well rope, pulled up the water tube, and poured the water into the bucket. Each of us gripping the side of the heavy bucket, we hurried to the back porch where we deposited it, then tiptoed silently through the empty kitchen to the door leading to Mama and Papa's room. Little Man and Stacy, just leaving the room under Mama's orders, allowed the door to remain slightly cracked, and all four of us huddled against it stepladder fashion.
"You sure giving folks something to talk about with that car of yours, Hammer,"
Mr. Granger said in his folksy dialect as he sat down with a grunt across from Papa. In spite of his college education, he always spoke this way.
"What they got you doing up north? Bootlegging whiskey?"
He laughed dryly, indicating that the question was to be taken lightly, but his eyes, tight on Uncle Hammer, showed that he intended to have an answer. Uncle Hammer, leaning against the fireplace mantel, did not laugh.
"Don't need to bootleg," he said sullenly. "Up there I got me a man's job, and they pay me a man's wages for it."
Mr. Granger studied Uncle Hammer. Uncle Hammer wore, as he had every day since he had arrived, sharply creased pants, a vest over a snow-white shirt, and shoes that shone like midnight.
"You right cityfied, ain't you? Course, you always did think you was too good to work in the fields like other folks."
"No, that ain't it," said Uncle Hammer. "I just ain't never figured 50 cents a day was worth a child's time, let alone a man's wages."
Uncle Hammer said nothing else. He didn't need to. Everyone knew that 50 cents was the top price paid to any day laborer, man, woman, or child, hired to work in the Granger fields. Mr. Granger ran his tongue around his teeth, making his lips protrude in odd half circles. Then he turned from Uncle Hammer to Papa.
"Some folks tell me y'all running a regular traveling store up here. Hear tell a fella can get just about anything he wants from up at Tate's in Vicksburg, if he just lets y'all know."
Papa met Mr. Granger's eyes, but didn't speak. Mr. Granger shook his head.
"Seems to me you folks are just stirring up something. Y'all got roots in this community. Even got yourselves that loan Paul Edward made from the First National Bank up in Strawberry for that eastern 200 acres. Course now with times like they are, that mortgage could come due any time. And if it comes due, and y'all ain't got the money to pay it, y'all could lose this place."
"Ain't gonna lose it,"
said Uncle Hammer flatly. Mr. Granger glanced up at Uncle Hammer, then back to Papa. He took a cigar from his pocket, then a knife to cut off the tip. After he had thrown the tip into the fire, he settled back in his chair and lit the cigar while Papa, Mama, Uncle Hammer, and Big Ma waited for him to get on. Then he said,
"This is a fine community. Got fine folks in it, both white and colored. Whatever's bothering you people, y'all just tell me. We'll get it straightened out without all this big to-do."
Uncle Hammer laughed outright. Mr. Granger looked up sharply, but Uncle Hammer eyed him insolently, a smile still on his lips. Mr. Granger, watching him, cautioned sternly,
"I don't like trouble here. This is a quiet and peaceful place. I aim to see it stays that way."
Then turning back to Papa, he continued,
"Whatever problems we have, we can work them out. I ain't gonna hide that I think y'all making a big mistake, both for the community and for yourselves, going all the way down to Vicksburg to do your shopping. That don't seem very neighborly."
"Neither does burning," said Uncle Hammer.
Mr. Granger puffed deeply on his cigar and did not look at Uncle Hammer. When he spoke again, it was to Big Ma. His voice was harsh, but he made no comment on what Uncle Hammer had said.
"I don't think your Paul Edward would have condoned something like this and risked losing this place. How come you let your boys go do it?
Big Ma smoothed the lap of her dress with her hands. They grown, and it's they land. I got no more say in it. Mr. Granger's eyes showed no surprise, but he pursed his lips again and ran his tongue around his teeth.
The price of cotton mighty low, y'all know that, he said finally. Could be that I'll have to charge my people more of their crops next summer just to make ends meet. I'd hate to do it, 'cause if I did, my people wouldn't hardly have enough to buy winter stores, let alone be able to pay their debts.
There was a tense, waiting silence before his glance slid to Papa again.
Mr. Joe Higgins, up at First National, told me that he couldn't hardly honor a loan to folks who go round stirring up a lot of bad feelings in the community.
And especially stirring the colored folks out in their place, interjected Uncle Hammer calmly.
Mr. Granger paled, but didn't turn to Uncle Hammer.
Money's too scarce, he continued, as if he hadn't heard. And folks like that are a poor risk. You ready to lose your land, David, because of this thing?
Papa was lighting his pipe. He didn't look up until the flame had caught in the tobacco and held there. Then he turned to Mr. Granger.
200 acres of this place been Logan land for almost 50 years now, and the other 200 for 15. We've been through bad times and good times, but we ain't never lost none of it. Ain't gonna start now.
Mr. Granger said quietly, it was Granger land before it was Logan.
Slave land, said Papa.
Mr. Granger nodded.
Wouldn't have lost this section if it hadn't been stolen by your Yankee carpetbaggers after the war. But y'all keep on playing Santa Claus, and I'm gonna get it back. Real easy. I want you to know that I plan to do whatever I need to keep peace down in here.
Papa took the pipe from his mouth and stared into the fire. When he faced Mr. Granger again, his voice was very quiet, very distinct, very sure. You being white, you can just about plan on anything you want. But I tell you this one thing, you plan on getting this land, you're planning on the wrong thing.
Mama's hand crossed almost unseen to Papa's arm.
Mr. Granger looked up slyly.
There's lots of ways of stopping you, David.
Papa impaled Mr. Granger with an icy stare.
Then you'd better make them good, he said.
Mr. Granger stood to go, a smile creeping smugly over his lips, as if he knew a secret but refused to tell. He glanced at Uncle Hammer, then turned and left, leaving the silence behind him.